Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. McManus, what are your thoughts? McManus is fired up today.
No, you know what? I actually do. I do have a thought. It's a frust. I'm coming to the show today. Not in my happiest of moods. Well, and I don't.
Grumpy McManus.
No, not grumpy. Just
We really got to get that Janice Needs Lovin' gig up and running.
I am saddened by something. And that's sad. I'm not going to weep, but
okay.
This is, yeah. I won't go into too many details because it's a family issue. I have a family member that, my father is still alive. I realize he has Alzheimer's, but the family issue came about my father's will.
Oh God. You know, you want to see the ugliness in people.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I mean, and I know there are people out there who are dealing with this too, that there's, if there's one thing that will drive a wedge into a family, it's a will.
You got it.
And anyway, so we had to have this discussion. We didn't really want to have it, but we had to have it. And I guess what
excuse me.
What I didn't understand is when you have a partner, wife, husband, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever you have, whatever partner you have, I think it's the responsibility of the partner to not co-sign your BS. And I say that in the behavior of the certain family member.
Okay.
His wife didn't say to him, hey, so-and-so, I don't think this is really cool.
Are
what
you
you're
sure
doing.
She didn't think it was cool? Because are you sure she didn't think it was cool? Do you understand what I mean? Are you sure she wasn't on board with where that person was coming from?
Maybe. And maybe that's why she didn't call the BS. Maybe. You could be absolutely
right. Because, you know what? Did you call them out on their BS? That's the most important thing.
Well, but it's not. I had to facilitate the kind of the reading of the thing. So I went along with it to kind of calm the waters because it was getting to a boiling point.
So you did not, though, call that person out on their BS.
But he's not my partner. He's a family member.
Why does it have to be a partner to do it? Why can't it be anybody who does it? Why does a partner have to do it?
Well, you do have to kind of respect if someone is going there, you have to try and figure out where that's coming from. And for him, it was coming from a place of fear.
Okay.
That he's going to be left out of the whale or something, right? So you're coming from a place of fear. So I have to respect that and go, okay, he's coming from a place of fear. Let's put his fears to the side.
Okay.
However, if someone is...
Once those fears are put to the side, then I think it's okay to say, look, let me sort of assuage? Is that the word? What's that?
Oh, I don't know that word.
Calm your fears.
Assuage.
No.
I don't know.
Help you calm your fears. But now with that said, your behavior is unacceptable. You could have done that. Why does it have to be the partner? What if the partner doesn't even see that it's unacceptable? You're expecting a lot from the partner, expecting a fair amount of evolution from somebody, you know.
Who may not be.
Well, how do you know where that person's at? You don't know.
No, I don't. I guess where I was coming from was that I could have.
Why didn't you?
I'm not coming. Where I'm coming from is not making sense anymore. I just assume that if I'm with somebody and I see my partner doing something that is this, it's not nice or it's not appropriate. Why would I co-sign that behavior?
But you did co-sign that behavior because you didn't say anything either. And here's why I think a lot of people do. When we enable somebody to be in a destructive pattern, we do it for many reasons, but always it affords us something. So for you in this particular instance, it would have made you extremely uncomfortable and you don't like confrontation in that way. So you were like, well, this is a heated situation. I don't want to be the bad guy. You know, this person's feeling fear-based and like, let me try to help you through this. But I sure wish somebody would say something when it could have been you.
Yeah.
You know, it also could be like if somebody is overweight and they have a partner that's overweight. Well, it could be that sort of unspoken agreement of, all right, well, I'll love you if you're fat, if you love me, if I'm fat. Like, you don't know why people enable patterns. They do it for many different reasons. I mean, I love Bob more than anything on the planet, and I think he is amazing at what he does. But I do think, you know, he and I will argue openly about this. We've argued on the show in the past couple episodes about it. But I do think that he can enable the contestants in their patterns because he's very attracted to being the good guy. He's, in his mind, their best day. He's their champion. He's their hero. He's you know, the hero that he always wanted. And what does Bob get out of it? Well, he feels good about himself. But and I get that. And I love him for that. But we've had huge fights because I've said at times, I don't think it's time for nice Bob. I think it's time for you to hold up a mirror here and not co-sign their BS. Like when they storm out of the gym, we don't chase them. That's unacceptable behavior. And then you know it's unacceptable behavior. But Bob is very caught up in being the fixer, which I understand.
Right.
So he's enabling that pattern for that reason without even realizing it. And I enable people's patterns, I'm sure, for my own reasons. But even though I'm actually not a very big enabler. I'm pretty famous for not doing that.
No.
But I'm not afraid of confrontation. So
you're not.
Well, because I grew up with so much of it. So to me,
it's natural.
Yeah,
it's
I'm not a passive aggressive person. I'm an aggressive person. A lot of people don't like that quality, and that's okay. You know, it's like it is what it is. But I grew up in a very aggressive environment. My father was very aggressive. So I'm comfortable with an argument. I'm comfortable with a fight because I'm used to it. Even though, you know, I did have to live with this man, and there were times when that's not true. There were times with my dad when I did enable him to do things that made me uncomfortable because I was uncomfortable calling him out and didn't want to fight that day.
Right.
You know? So we co-sign people's issues because of our own issues.
It is our own issues.
You're right. Of course it is. Sure it is. It's affording us something. So if you look at, if there's somebody that you think is behaving badly or self-destructively or harming others, including themselves, if you haven't said anything, ask yourself why.
Well, I would have to think about that. And, I mean, I seriously would have to.
And if you have concern, when you get to the place of what your concern might be, then think about how to approach the situation whilst simultaneously managing your concerns. So if you're trying to be the good guy and you're trying to calm this guy's fears, right, in this difficult family situation, but you want to call him out, then I would say, look, I get it. I get where you're coming from. I understand how you're feeling. This is the communication skill, right? You want to build up your sort of, you want to ingratiate yourself with this person and make them feel understood, and you want to make them feel heard. So you acknowledge their feelings. And another little simple trick is to repeat back something they say to you. So if it's like, I feel like, you know, when this happens, I'm neglected. And you go, I hear you. You feel like when this happens, you're the one that's left out in the cold, right? They know you hear them. You validate their feelings. Now they're feeling calm and like, okay, I have some, you know, this is not going to be a defensive situation. You hear me. You've built up a little, it's very how to win friends and influence people, right? Yeah. A little karmic surplus in that bank with them. Then you might say, but listen, here's how, you know, when you do this or this or this, it's detrimental in the following ways to your goals and the entire situation.
See, I was way too angry to even go there. I was way too angry to even engage in that kind of conversation.
Okay, but then you calm down, right? And one of the things that I try to teach my contestants is how to utilize your anger. So you find a place. Like, remember we've talked about the tantrum mat before on the
show?
Yes,
yes, we have.
Find a place that's your tantrum mat, whether it's the gym or a meeting or a lunch with a friend where you can spew. Write a letter that you don't send. Don't do it on email. Where you just, like, vomit up all those feelings on the page and you release some of that steam. Then go back and reapproach and say, okay, what are my issues? What's my long-term goal? Well, I get where this guy's coming from. I need us to be able to communicate, but I want the behavior to stop. Got it. Okay. So now I know I need to go in. I need to validate this person. I need to let them know that they've been heard and that I see the world through their eyes. I see their point of view. But I then want to let them know how I'm feeling and how the situation is affecting the situation. And we talked about this before. So it's not a you statement.
Right.
You do this and you do that. It's, you know, okay, but when this happens, I feel, or the situation becomes X, Y, and Z. And all of our common goal is this. Find that common ground. That's also a really big tip. You want to find the common ground you have with them. Mm. Our common goal is this.
Yeah.
How are we going to get there in a more productive way?
Yeah.
And that's how you do it, Jay. You're afraid of your own anger and you're afraid of confrontation. And that's the thing, dude. That's...
Well, I made a promise to myself that I wanted to live my life as a woman of more grace and dignity.
Okay.
So that is a goal for me, to live with grace and dignity. And if I...
That requires you to stand up for yourself, though, and not be a doormat.
I don't feel I was a doormat. I just know that if I allow it to come out, it comes out. If I open the floodgate, there could be.
But this is why you don't open the floodgate. You release the pressure cooker slowly.
Mm, good point. Good point.
You release the pressure cooker and then you stop before that impulsive reaction comes out and think about what the goal is and how best to reach the goal.
Right.
So you switch from that place of impulsive and explosive to release steam, vent, vomit it out, talk it through, think it through, then reapproach calmer with a game plan.
But the way you then, however, the way you run your life, for lack of a better term, you never have to release the pressure because you...
Yeah, you hold back. That's the thing. I deal with something as soon as I see it. If you stop feelings,
you do.
Then they're going to explode. I will deal with things pretty imminently. Yeah. I deal with them like straight away.
Now, did you have to work on that, or was that something that came?
I am a list keeper, which is bad. And Heidi tells me that all the time. She's like, it's not fair, babe. You'll keep track of things in your mind and then you'll go back and you'll argue with me like an attorney about why I'm wrong about everything. Oh, I didn't do that. I did this, this, and this on this occasion, which negates your point about X, Y, and Z. So I do that, but that's more of like a defense mechanism of, no, I'm not a bad person, and here's all the reasons why you're wrong.
Right.
So, and that's something that I really try to work on. With that said, though, when I see something, I'll usually confront it pretty quickly. And it's very interesting to me how many people will think that I'm upset or I'll be upset. Like with Britt, it's a shame she's not here right now. Because I think we talked about this a little on the show. I would pick on her all the time, right? Like I pick on you, like I pick on everybody because I was picked on as a kid. And to me, that's love. Like that's what I know of love because my dad would pick on me and that was his attention. So
it's natural to you.
It's like, it's how I've learned. And I pick on my son all the time. Like, and it's amazing. He's so little. He gets it. Like, I'll look at him and I'll be like, let's talk about stuff that I'm sick of. And I'll point my finger in his face. I'm like, boogers, I have had it. And he'll like belly laugh like crazy. Mm-hmm. But he's growing up with it. So he, you know, he knows. But like you do that with an adult, you joke with an adult like that who doesn't understand it. Sometimes they really think I'm mad or they'll really think I'm upset about something. And I had to tell Britt, I was like, but I'm kidding. Like, A, I'm sorry that you feel like I'm not kidding and that I've hurt your feelings in some way. And B, like, you know me. I'm pretty clear when I'm upset. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, like, when this didn't get done, like, if something doesn't get done or it gets done the wrong way, I have an instant response. And I have, you know, I'm learning to manage my impulsivity and I'm learning to have more productive conversations because I think to myself, what's my long-term goal? And if I'm going to kill someone, I stop and take 10, you know, breathe and talk right. it through as best as I can with Heidi or Giancarlo, because I know that an explosive reaction is trouble. And I know myself mm-hmm. really well. I know what triggers me. So, but I don't let things build up either.
Right.
And you got to know what triggers you too. So like, for example, we have been talking about engaging in a business venture with a man who is a billionaire, right? I mean, a billionaire, not an MB with a B, billionaire. And, you know, he sat down and he's like, we can take your business here, here, and here, and you can become this, this, and this. And I was like, oh, no, this is not good. And I said to Junk, I'm like, I know my pattern with these kinds of men. It brings up father issues for me.
Sure.
Because I go into the situation and I'm like, oh, you're the daddy I never had. And I bring all of these historical issues to the table. And then if something goes wrong and they disappoint me, I have a huge historical reaction. F you. I hate you and I don't need you. And it's like, so I know myself. So I'm like, all right, dear God, if we do business with this, Giancarlo does all the negotiating. I don't touch the negotiating. Like I stop. I think things through. I make sure that I'm being rational. We've kind of switched subjects a little bit. But you've got to know yourself. You've got to know, A, why are you enabling this person? What's it affording you? B, what are you afraid of? Okay, X, Y, and Z. C, how do you manage that fear and vent appropriately or deal with your fear? And then think about, you know, D, what are the steps you need to take without your historical or impulsive response to get your end result? And you go through A, B, C, and D, it will usually work out in your favor every time.
Yeah, it's like looking at the situation without the veil of history in front of it. You know,
the
like
history. You got to know that history.
That's very true.
You've got to know what your history is, what you're bringing to the table from a historical perspective, so that you can appreciate. Oh, this is not about. This is a historical reaction. Let me get control of this.
Oh, Jesus! I got so much to think about now.
I know.
You
don't call me the doctor for nothing.
Oh God.
Yeah, I'm going to change my name. Yeah, instead of America's Toughest Trainer, it's just going to be Doctor. I should, but not like medical doctor. My mom would die. I'll just you know, make every analyst across the country cringe.
I know. I have popped a little email off to Heidi to ask her if you have chosen your scrubs yet. What kind of scrubs
no,
you have.
No, I'm the love doctor. So no scrubs. Love doctors don't. I wear bifocals.
Yeah, but now.
I need a good couch. And a pair of bifocals.
That's right. You're not going to wear scrubs. Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
Not cutting anybody open.
Oh, God. All right. You know what? We thank you for hearing me out.
Of course.
In my, and thank you all out there.
A certain amount of your time should be donated to charity. They call it tithing. So I'll just check you off my list for today.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Gotta pave that path to heaven.
Oh,
time with Janice.
That's right.
Check.
Time with Janice. Okay, let's do time. Let's do time with something snappy coming up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I've got a fitness segment for you.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of a test. You got to take it to the gym with you, though. It's sort of, you kind of got to take this one with you. Like, you got to listen to us
at
the gym right now.
Okay.
It's 7 tests of true strength.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I pulled this one from Men's Health. I think it's Men's Health. Because obviously I read all these magazines. But I thought this was super fun. And I wanted to do it with our audience. Because I, of course, like an idiot, tried it at the gym. And found out that I'm not quite as fit as I thought I was.
Oh, seriously?
Oh my gosh.
That intense?
Well, I was like, this is nutso. But it's kind of fun. All right. So the first 7 tests, right?
Okay.
Okay. So your first test is a long jump, which basically means you're going to stand with your toes on a line or like at a set point.
Oh, like the old one.
Yeah. You swing your shoulders,
yeah.
Dip your knees, and you jump as far forward, not up, but sort of horizontally, up and horizontal, as far as you can. And then you measure it. Okay. So the ordinary person jumps, obviously this applies to men, but I of course applied it to me, so maybe give you
of course take, you did
maybe take like a foot off. And I also, after I wanted to kill myself, thought it was sort of unfair because I'm only 5'2". I feel like this one should be a little bit different depending on height. So I'm modifying this a little bit. So for men, it says that the ordinary like fit level male does 6 feet or less than 6 feet.
6 feet, that's still a good piece.
Yeah, that's a chunk.
Yeah.
So I covered the 6 feet. The 6 feet I had.
Okay.
Here's where it gets, then the above average is 6 to 8 feet.
Oh, wow, that's a
lot. So I think 6 feet for a woman is a good number. Because that's what
Yeah.
But then, okay, and if you're super fit, it's 8+.
Oh, God.
I know, right? Not nutso?
No running, though. This is just standing.
No, it's a long jump. Yeah, you don't run. You stand, swing your arms, and throw yourself forward. Now, this one's good because it doesn't change if you're a man or a woman, because here's what you do. So it's a squat with a curl and a press, right? So as you're squatting, you have 2 dumbbells, 1 in each hand. Mm-hmm. You squat down. You stand up, you bicep curl as you're standing up, mm-hmm. right? And then you press the weight over your head. Okay, so here's what you want to do. You want to use dumbbells that are roughly 30% of your body weight. So I'm 115 pounds, so it's almost like 45
pounds. No, hang on, 30%.
38-ish, like 38.
Yeah.
So, but you split it.
Yeah.
So, for example, it's 30 pounders if you weigh 200 pounds. So it's like 30 and 30 is 60. So you want to use the total is roughly 30%. So if it's like 38 pounds, I've got like roughly a 20 in each hand.
Okay. Yep.
Maybe a little less. So 15 to 20, something like that. Okay. Now, super fit is 16 reps in a minute. Above average is 18. And like incredibly fit is 20+ reps in a minute. So you squat down, weight stays down, right? So squat all the way down.
Like all the way down?
That's a terrible squat. No wonder your knees are screwed up.
What's the matter with my squat?
It's awful. Jeez. Sit back. Sit your butt.
A squat.
Oh, my God.
What? That is, I am completely.
No, look at your knees.
I am completely over my body weight is completely over.
No, hinge at the hips and stick your butt back.
Put all your weight.
There. Now sit down. Sit. That's a squat. Your knees should be track over your big toes, but they should be over your ankles.
You stick your ass back that far?
You have to. Yes. Oh my God, bud.
That's what's hard on your knees.
No wonder your knees are a car crash.
No, my knees are a car crash because I had a dog crash.
That's bad for you, dude. Yeah, you sit back. Sit way back. There.
Oh,
that's
never
a squat.
Sat that far back.
Oh my God. Terrible form. So you sit all the way down with the weights down. You stand up with a curl and then a press.
Push above your head. Okay.
Okay, here's the next one. All right, this one. That's terrible.
It was terrible.
Okay. We were concerned about you.
It was awful.
This is funny. Okay.
I mean, okay. So it's their performance for one controlled wall squat, okay? So you stand facing a wall with your feet shoulder width apart and your toes 2 inches from the baseboard with your knees turned slightly out. This is going to be good for you, Janice, practice. Now, I want you to keep your feet flat, your chest up, and your back is naturally arched. And I want you to see how far you can lower your body without touching the wall or falling backward. Now, don't anybody move yet. So, great shape, okay, is if you can do a full squat, which means that you get those thighs all the way down to parallel without falling backwards or touching the wall. Okay, now, average is if you can get halfway down. You can't touch the wall, can't touch the wall. Above average is halfway down. And then, of course, ordinary is less than halfway in the squat. All right, moving on.
Number four.
Deadlift. All right, now, granted, I don't like lifting heavy weights, but remember, this is just a test of strength. So,
okay.
But this is not a stiff leg deadlift. It's a squatting deadlift. So the difference is, have you ever seen the guys that, like, they squat down with the huge barbell and then they stand up? And,
yes.
Okay, that's not a straight leg deadlift. So this is the kind of deadlift we're talking about. It's that deadlift where you bend the knees and you squat down, okay? So here we go. You take a barbell with a maximum amount of weight you can lift once. And what you want to do is, of course, you want to stand with the bar close to your shins, which is why all those CrossFit guys wear the knee socks, which I think is hilarious. Even though I understand it, I understand why you do it. But when Bob wears knee socks like a little schoolgirl, it just kills me. I love it.
It's his deal.
Yeah. I just want to slap his butt. I'm like, come here. Bring those jungle cakes over to mama.
What?
His jungle cakes. Big bubble butt Bobby. Haven't you seen Bob's butt? It's enormous.
I've definitely seen it.
Bob's got some jungle cakes. All right, so now my daughter runs around. She goes, jungle cake. Jungle cake, Uncle Bobby.
I'm sure that makes me happy.
All right, so, okay. So what you do is you obviously bend at your hips, bend your knees, and you grab the bar using an overhand grip that's just sort of beyond shoulder width. And you want to keep your lower back naturally arched, pull your torso, squeeze your glutes, thrust your hips forward and stand up with the barbell. That's the form, okay? Now, ordinary fitness could do body weight. I didn't make it very far on this one, to be honest, because I don't lift a ton of weight. So, like, I don't deadlift 115 pounds. I could do more, but I was like, I don't want to do more. Like, I above average is 1.5 times body weight. Like, I was like, I could do probably 150, but, like, I really don't want to.
Yeah.
Which isn't even 1.5 times body weight. And then super fit is 1.75 of your body weight.
Whew.
So if you're like 115, it's like 180 or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more. If you're 150, it's significantly more.
Yeah.
This one I don't love because I want you to be really careful, but I thought it was and you need to know how to do this before you start. But if you're super fit, you're going to know how to do this deadlift.
Exactly.
Anyway. Okay. Next one is a push-up one. So the average person, so here we go. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the test. You assume a push-up position with your body straight, okay? You lower yourself until you're 3 inches from the floor, and then you want to do a clapping push-up. So basically, you maintain a straight body and you clap in midair. The average person does 10 of these, no clap. The over-average person can do 5 clapping push-ups, and the super-fit person can do 10 clapping push-ups. Let me see, Janice.
Oh, I can't. I honestly can't do a clapping push-up. Like, I've never been able to do it.
Are you joking?
Yeah. I've never.
I've seen you do 50 push-ups in a row.
But I can't do the clappy.
Of course you can.
Yeah. I'm not going to. You gave me the gift of a 2-hour massage. I'm not going to. I want this to last for a while.
Don't tell them that.
Well, you did. You gave me that's right. That you were giving to me. That you were nice to me.
I don't.
Well, it was very nice. You gave me a 2-hour massage, and it was
not
fantastic.
Personally.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, no. Oh, God. God forbid. We don't even touch each other. Sorry, when we see each other, we kind of go, hi, how are you?
Janice tried to plug the mic in right in my crotch. I was like, excuse me.
Excuse me.
A little professional space, please.
No, you were very kind to give me, to hire someone to give me. So I don't want to ruin
it. Thank you for the clarification.
I don't want to ruin it.
I can't believe you won't do that. I'm so
sorry.
Disappointed.
I know you're disappointed, but I'm not. I feel too good right now
good.
To have to try to please you.
I don't know if I could do 10. I can definitely do five.
Yeah?
Now let's see. I did just eat, though.
God.
Well, let's see. All right, make room.
All right. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Oh, my God.
Yeah! I'm super fit, man. On that one.
Oh, my God. I'm totally impressed.
Now, don't you feel less than that you wouldn't even do one?
I feel like, you know what? I think I should just put myself in a box.
I wasn't even warmed up. You sure you're not in menopause yet? Oh, my God. Alrighty. Moving
on. I'm sure.
I am flabbergasted. That was really impressive.
I am a fitness god, Janice.
Oh, gosh. Let's not toot her horn. Next
Woo!
Jeez.
Yeah, there we go.
She totally did that. You know, wasn't it? This is a cement floor, too.
Well, it's got a carpet of some sort.
Jeez.
Okay, moving on. Now, this one, I don't think I could do. I'm still out of breath.
I would be, too.
Okay, so you have to hold plank, okay? And it's on the forearms and the balls of your feet. So your feet are about hip-width apart, and then you're on your forearms. Elbows are directly under your shoulder.
Okay, this one I think I
So it's not plank on your hands, which is super hard on the wrists to hold for 3 minutes. I would kill myself.
This one I think I can do. So you just continue with your segment.
You think? Okay, so.
I'll time it.
The ordinary person can do. Okay, everyone, get in the position, please.
Well, I'm not going to get in that position.
No, so start, because we got to go on for the time.
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
I've gotta get my ass
Jake, get her. Go. Okay. You timing it?
Yep.
3 minutes. So the ordinary person can do a minute or less. An above average person can do 2 to 3 minutes. And a super fit person can do 3 minutes or more. I know.
That's hard.
I don't know if I could do 3 minutes. Maybe I could. I'm not sure. But this is a good one. So we're going to leave Janice in plank.
For the rest
Don't let her butt dip, though. She's got to keep her core engaged. Lift that booty. Lift that booty, dog. Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Okay, now you stay there, Janice.
I am.
Don't come out of it, Janice. Okay, now we have a little cardiovascular test, okay? It's called the Beep Test. So you can download the Beep Test app for your iPhone, which is Beep Test Solo. By the way, Janice is still in plank. Beep Test Solo, it's $1, or you can do it on an Android device, which is like $2.50. And you place two cones 20 meters apart on a track or field, okay? You stay in your plank, please.
All right. That was a minute right there.
Okay, she's in a minute. She's better than ordinary here. Okay, now, here's what you do. You hit the start button on the app, and you run from one cone to the other. And when you hear the beep, you run back. And you continue until you can't reach the opposite cone before the next beep sounds. Because you see the time between the beeps is going to get shorter as the test progresses. Then hit the record score button, which is the best way to keep track of your aerobic endurance. So an ordinary person can get back and forth 9 times. An above average person can do 11. And a super fit person can do 12 plus, which, of course, we don't have the app, so we can't do it. But you can download it.
Something different in high school.
What'd you call it?
No, but it was.
Janice is still in play.
We did it in hockey, and we did it in basketball. We did lines.
It was called lines. Oh, suicides?
Suicides.
It's sort of like suicides.
But that's a really incredible.
This is impressive, McManus.
Coming up on 2.5 minutes.
Whoa.
How long do I have to hold?
30 more seconds.
Well, 3+ minutes.
Well, I'm stopping at 3:01.
Is extremely fit. Don't you want to go for your personal best?
No.
Come on, bud.
No, because this is not ruining my massage yet.
Oh. Okay. She's trembling. She feels the pain. She's fighting it, man. It's squirming down there. Oh, ooh, it's wrinkling its face.
All right.
Donor, I'll have to buy you
five,
Botox, too.
Four.
No, she's got to get over 3. A little higher. If she's at 3, okay. You're at 3. That was good.
Yeah.
Your arms, Brit.
No,
that's hysterical.
I think I got a pretty good core.
You must. That was
swimming.
Brutal.
From swimming.
3 minutes is a long time in that. That's good.
I love little things like that.
Oh, good.
Because the one that I'm going to work towards the push-ups, the one that I know that what I would have trouble with because I don't know proper form is that deadlift.
I know the deadlift.
That would be
tough. I don't like lifting heavy weight personally, but nevertheless. Good job, people. Good job.
All right,
moving on.
Moving on.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
Okay, we're back, and Sarah is waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Sarah, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm super excited to be talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
So just a little background. I recently lost about 60 pounds. Most of that was pregnancy weight.
Oh, congrats on the baby and the body and the whole thing.
Thanks. It's been almost 2 years. That's the problem. It was a pretty slow process.
It's okay, sweetheart. You lost the 60. It doesn't matter. You did it, and that's a huge accomplishment.
Thanks. So at this point, I have about 20 pounds left to reach my goal weight.
Okay.
And I've sort of come to a plateau. I know you guys don't really like the word plateau and don't really believe in it, and I don't either.
I believe in it, just under very select and specific circumstances.
Right. So this is why I'm calling, because I'm wondering, everybody has their vices.
Oh, you don't tell. Oh, yeah. Hello. Right now I have like 3 bottles of e-boost lined up in front of me. It's like one for the morning, one for the afternoon, and one for the late afternoon. Yeah, anyway, go on.
And my vice is once in a while, I indulge in artificial sweeteners.
Ugh, why?
I know. You know, this is the thing. I've come a long way. I used to have like 2 Diet Cokes a day.
Okay.
And in the morning I would have a latte and put 2 Sweet and Lows in it. So now, you know, after listening to your podcast, reading books and research on aspartame and all the horrible things it does to someone, I've eliminated it. And so now it's like on the very rare occasion. So maybe like once a week I'll have a Diet Coke. But every morning I still either have a green tea and I don't put anything in it.
Okay.
Or when I'm like going to treat myself, I'll have a latte and I'll put 1 Sweet and Low in it.
Why don't you just put sugar in it?
Because I feel like that's
gonna... natural.
Well,
I
guess because the sweetener that I use, the Sweet and Low, is 0 calorie.
Girl, a cube of sugar or a packet of sugar is between 10 and 14 calories. A pound is 3,500 calories. Okay. Like, listen to what, I mean, but you got to understand that the ramifications of the artificial sweeteners on your metabolism are far more impactful than 14 calories.
So that's what I want to know. I want to know if the minimal, because like I said, I'm not doing it a lot, but I'm wondering how that plays out on my metabolism, and also I'll mention that I have hypothyroidism, so I don't know if that affects it either.
God. Look, here's the thing. Artificial sweeteners, read any study. Google artificial sweeteners and weight gain. Artificial sweeteners and appetite increase. Like, they are chemicals straight up, and there have been many studies that suggest that they're excitotoxins. They excite the appetite center of the brain. They increase your hunger. They train your body not to recognize sugar calories. They cause genetic mutations in your gut. They're linked to cancer. Like, forget it. Just forget it. It doesn't taste good, so take it off the menu and have sugar, which actually does taste good, in moderation, and work it into your calorie allowance. This is your neuroses that's talking right now. You're going, oh my God, 14 calories. I'm telling you right now, 14 calories, if you had 30 calories of sugar in your coffee every day, work it into your breakfast allowance. Who cares? I give myself 300 to 400 for breakfast, 300 to 400 for lunch, 2 for a snack, and 300 to 400 for dinner. And I get somewhere around 1,800, and on a higher day, 2,000, on a lower day, 1,600, which is too low because I'm not in weight loss mode. But it's like there's room for that in there, I'm telling you. So if I have an Ezekiel English muffin and a coffee, and I put almond butter or, you know, cream cheese on my muff, it's like, okay, 180. Then I do like another 100 calories of either almond butter or low-fat cream cheese, which is actually less than the almond butter. I'm at around 300, 280. And then my sugar, I'm like 330. In my, and a splash of milk. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You got to gain a little perspective here, sweetie.
Okay. Another kind of, it's the same topic. My husband has type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
And when I, like over the weekend, I cooked, I had my family over for dinner, made a healthy dinner, but I made a dessert for my husband. It was a quote-unquote sugar-free cheesecake. Eesh. And I used the all-natural stevia. Now, is that just as
that's
bad
fine.
As
no, it is not. No, okay. Stevia is, as of right now, current research suggests that Truvia, Stevia, you could even use sugar alcohols, which could upset the stomach a little bit, like xylitol or erythritol or maltitol, but they're non-toxic. So okay. Stevia is a South American plant, and the sugar alcohols just, here's the problem. They go undigested into the lower intestine, and they can make you a little bit gassy if you eat too much.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But they're, it's like,
here comes Sarah.
Oh my God. I'll never forget when I just didn't really fully have the knowledge about what that meant. And without getting too graphic, I don't know if you remember the first Lord of the Rings, but it was like 13 years ago, something like that. So we had bought a bunch of that sugar-free chocolate, but it was flavored with sugar alcohol. And we're in the movies. You know, it's a 3-hour movie. And I looked over at my friend and I was like, I need to go. Like, I broke into a sweat. And he looked at me and he was like, I agree. And yeah, that's all I'll say about that. But,
oh, my God.
Yeah, that's all I think I'm going to elaborate on that. But, yes, stevia is fine. Stevia, Truvia, and you could even put a xylitol packet in your coffee and it shouldn't wreak much havoc on you.
Okay, nice. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, awesome. Thanks a lot. Me and my friends are coming to see you at your Chicago lecture on May 10th.
You are? You're coming to the Maximize Your Life tour in Chicago?
Yes.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Well, you better just jump up and down and say, it's me.
It's me. Yeah, have some of that sugar alcohol. She'll know where you are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
that's my friend Sarah.
I know. I hope you like it. It's we're working very hard on it to make it. It's going to be kind of intense, and it's very interactive. So there's a possibility I could pull you up on stage.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's what you think now.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks a lot for taking my call. And I, like I said, I love you and Janice. Your podcast gets me through my hour commutes. And, you guys are awesome.
Thank you, buddy. We love you, too. Have a great day.
You, too.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye. Bye.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.